You may be seated. I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, we're going to be reading the entirety of the chapter this evening, and I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this passage together tonight. Exodus chapter 16, a passage that takes place only a short time after Israel has come up out of Egypt. This is before they make it even to Mount Sinai and the giving of the law. But again, we see in this passage God's good and gracious provision for his people as he provides for them their daily bread. So Exodus chapter 16, and as we give our attention to God's word this evening, we do so mindful that God has given us his written word because of the special care that he has for us and for our salvation. And so even the reading and the preaching of that word tells us of God's great care for us and his provision for us as his people. So with that in mind, let us give our attention to God's word this evening. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years, till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. So far the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." The Catechism explains for us what this petition means when it tells us that when we pray this prayer, we're asking God to provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that He is the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor His gifts can do us any good without His blessing. Therefore, we are praying that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place our trust in God alone. Well, here certainly is a petition that is good for us to pray every day. And here also is a petition that God is pleased to answer every day. We sang and read a few moments ago from Psalm 81. And there in that psalm, God commands us as His people to open our mouths wide, and He promises that He will fill them. He goes through the history of Israel and its wanderings in the wilderness, and He says at the end of that psalm that He would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. He would satisfy them. Indeed, just a few psalms earlier, Psalm 78, a psalm that records much of the history of Israel in far greater detail, we read of the way in which God provided food for His people in the wilderness, how He provided for them their daily bread. In Psalm 78, verses 23 through 25, we read, "He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and He rained down on them manna to eat, and gave them the grain of heaven. Men ate of the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance." What a beautiful and wonderful description of God's daily provision for His people. They ate the food of angels. Well, certainly that's a reference to what's going on in our text this evening in Exodus chapter 16, where we read the account of how God first began sending His people manna, their daily bread, for those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Notice how our text opens. It opens in verse 1 with the people about to leave Elam. We don't know a lot about Elam, but what we do know of it tells us that it was probably a difficult place for the Israelites to leave. At the end of chapter 15, we read that in Elam there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Elam was truly an oasis in the desert. And now it's time to leave. Time to leave the cool shade of the palm trees for the blistering heat of the desert sun. Time to leave the refreshing springs of water for the dry heat of the desert sand. God had graciously given them rest and refreshment there in Elam by those palm trees and by those springs of water, but now it's time for them to continue on their pilgrim way. We need times of rest and refreshment. But we also need the wilderness. There are not many things that grow well in the wilderness, but grace often does. It's in those times of hardship, those times of trial, those times when our resources are depleted, when we have nothing left in ourselves to draw upon, that we learn to trust much more fully upon God and to lean heavily upon His promises. Israel needed that, and we need that too. And so we read that the people left Elam and came to the wilderness of Sin. Now, the wilderness of Sin is simply the name of a place. It has really nothing to do with what occurred there in that place. It's just simply the name of a place. But notice where that place is. We're told that it's between Elam, that oasis in the desert, and Sinai, the place where God would give His law to His people. And it's a reminder to us here at the beginning of Exodus 16 that the Israelites have not yet come to Sinai. They've not yet been given the law, nor have they been given the instructions for the tabernacle. You see, it's not that long since they have left the land of Egypt. In fact, we're told it's only been 2 months and 15 days since the Exodus from Egypt. A mere 75 days or so. In other words, the children of Israel are free, but they're not yet home. And now as they leave Elam and the rest and the refreshment that they enjoyed there, and as they begin to travel out into the heat of the desert, they begin to realize that the way home is hard. And so instead of looking forward to the promised land flowing with milk and honey, they begin looking backwards to the house of bondage and the land of slavery. And that leads them to complain. We see their complaint in verses 2 and 3 as they grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." How quickly God's people forget. And how quickly God's people complain. Better to die in Egypt with our bellies full than to starve in the wilderness with our bellies empty. They remember the food of Egypt. They remember the pots of meat. They remember eating bread to the full. They remember how Pharaoh took such good care of them in Egypt. But they can't seem to remember what the Lord has done for them in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. They even complain that Pharaoh treated them better in Egypt than Moses and Aaron are treating them here in the wilderness. You brought us here to kill us with hunger. And so we find the people doubting Moses and Aaron and ultimately doubting God and His goodness and His faithfulness. They're doubting His promises that He will indeed bring them to the promised land. They're doubting that He will provide for them all they need for body and soul. And so they begin to do what they do best. They murmur, they grumble, they complain. These opening verses of our text shouldn't strike us too much if we know anything of the history of Israel. We know those 40 years in the wilderness were years that were filled with much complaining and much grumbling and much murmuring over and over again. This was the sin of God's people in the wilderness. And so what's going on here in the opening verses doesn't strike us so much, but what comes next does strike us, because the Lord could have responded to the complaints of his people by striking them down in their sin. He could have responded by sending them back to Egypt. He could have responded by sending them back into slavery, by giving up on them altogether. He had every right to return them to Egypt. He had every right to strike them down and kill them. But he didn't do that. Instead, he provided for them. They just grumbled and complained against God. And what's the Lord's response in verse 4? Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. He heard their grumbling, and he responds with a gracious promise to rain down bread from heaven. He promised to give them angels' food. He promised to set a table for them in the wilderness. He promised to provide for all their needs. In fact, he promises even in these verses to give them a double portion, not only to give them their daily bread on 6 days of the week, but on the sixth day to give them a double portion so that they can rest on the seventh day. You see, here is the Lord promising to provide for all their needs, both their physical needs and their spiritual needs. He promises to provide bread for their bodies and rest for their souls. By this they will know that it is the Lord who brought them out of Egypt, and in this they will see the glory of the Lord. What God is like this? God gives grace to those who sin against him. He gives food to those who question him. He gives rest to those who rebel against him. But we learn in verse 4 that God is also testing them, testing whether they will walk in his law or not. This, of course, isn't for God's benefit. It's for their benefit. God knows what is in their hearts. They need to know what is in their hearts. They need to learn just how desperately they need God, how desperately they need grace, and how desperately they need that every day. And in that regard, we're not that different from Israel. It's one of the reasons God gives us this petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't pray for tomorrow's bread. We pray for today's bread. And we trust that when tomorrow comes, God will prove faithful once again. We need to learn daily our need for God and our need for his grace. And so, as the text goes on, we find God sending them quail in the evening, giving them meat to eat, and then giving them bread in the morning for them to eat. God keeps his word and gives them what he has promised. And Moses tells them, as they awake that first morning and they see that frost-like substance on the ground, he tells them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." And with that instruction, he gives them this command. Each man is to gather according to his need, one omer for each person. And we read that he who gathered much had none left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. God provides exactly what each individual needs. Moses also commanded them to leave none till morning. Look at verse 19. Let no one leave any of it over till the morning. Not surprisingly, they broke this commandment too. They didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Why did they leave some of the bread till the morning? Well, they didn't trust God to provide again the next day. Yes, He gave us our bread today, but how do we know He's going to do so tomorrow? We better keep some just in case. We better store a little up for ourselves just in case. They didn't trust His promises, you see. They didn't trust His goodness. They didn't trust His grace. And they didn't trust it not only for their daily bread, but they didn't trust Him even for their Sabbath rest. Look at verses 22 and following. On the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much, two omers for each one. This is what the Lord commanded. The seventh day was the Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day holy to the Lord, a day to be set apart to the Lord. And so, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, and they baked it or boiled it and laid it up for the seventh day. And in the morning of the seventh day, it didn't stink, and there were no worms in it. The seventh day was to be a joyful day of rest for the people, a festive day of rest. Eating and resting, these are gifts of the Lord to His people. Gifts to be enjoyed, especially on His day. But they failed in this too. Verse 27. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Some didn't rest on the Lord's day. Some went out to work. Why? Well, they were greedy. They wanted more. Their needs had already been met the day before. But they wanted more to store up for themselves. And what was the result? Well, they missed God's gracious provision of rest. They didn't rest because they didn't trust. And God still works by that principle today, doesn't He? If we don't remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy, we miss out. We miss out on the rest that God so graciously gives. We don't find rest for our souls, and we go hungry, spiritually speaking, if we neglect the green pastures of God's Word, if we neglect the table He sets for us on our pilgrim way, we miss the joy and the rest He so graciously provides for us from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Notice what happens here, verse 28. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, He gives you bread for 2 days. You see, both the Sabbath and the bread are gifts from the Lord. Both our physical needs and our spiritual needs are met by the hand of a good heavenly Father. It's interesting, isn't it, that while Moses was angry when they kept the bread overnight, verse 20, it's God Himself who rebukes them when they go out to gather on the Sabbath, verse 28. This is not only a sin against God's law, it's a sin against grace. God gives a good gift to His people, and they spurn even that. God provides daily bread for His people, and He provides rest for their souls because He is a gracious God. You see, God doesn't want His people looking back to the land of bondage. He doesn't want His people looking back to the land of slavery. He doesn't want His people looking back to Pharaoh and the meat pots of Egypt. He wants His people looking forward. He wants them looking forward to the promised land of rest, that land flowing with milk and honey, and we see evidence of that in verse 31. The house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. You see what God is doing. Every day of their journey, every day of their pilgrimage in the wilderness, He's giving them a taste of honey. He's giving them a taste of the promised land. Because what is the promised land, after all, but a land flowing with milk and honey. God would have his people taste of the goodness he will give them in the land when they arrive. And he would have them taste of that goodness even now on their pilgrimage, even now as they walk this hard journey on the way home. The food of Egypt was really not as good as they remembered it. The food of the promised land would be far better. And God wanted them to look forward to that better land, that better food, every day of their journey. And so he makes provision for that in the final verses of our text. Look at verses 32 through 34. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The Lord commands an omer of the manna, an omer of that bread to be kept for all generations so that they can see the bread with which he fed them in the wilderness. And notice here in these verses where that jar of manna, that jar of bread, that jar of angels' food was to be kept. It was to be kept before the testimony. Now, what's the testimony? Well, the testimony is the law of God. But remember where Israel is. They're between Elam and Sinai. The law, the testimony, has not yet been given. The instructions for the tabernacle have not yet been given. This provision of daily bread, this gracious provision from the hand of a good, faithful, and gracious God, is a provision made before the law is given. Grace is given before the law is written in order to teach God's people this point. It's not the law that will bring them home. It's grace and grace alone that will bring them home. Their daily bread was to be a daily reminder of that. God is a gracious God. And he provided for them until they came to the land. Look at verses 35 and 36. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. And there's two things that are striking here in these final verses. First of all, their pilgrimage through the wilderness, that hard journey to their home. Their pilgrimage is described here not so much in terms of the wilderness, but in terms of their home. Notice the emphasis on that, the habitable land, the land of Canaan. In other words, God is directing his people forward. He's directing them to the goal that he has set before them. The focus all the days of their pilgrim journey is to be on that promised land flowing with milk and honey. And every day, every morning, they gather the bread, the manna that God sends. And every day that they taste it, every wafer they put upon their tongues, that taste of honey speaks to them of those far greater gifts that God will give them in the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. And the second thing that is striking there is that little parenthetical note at the end of verse 36, an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. There are several references to an omer throughout this passage, but it's not till the very end, almost as a little footnote at the end of this episode, that we learn the measurement of an omer. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah, and an ephah was about 3/5 of a bushel, or 22 liters. Why is this little footnote tacked on at the end? Because Moses is telling the people here, there is no way an omer can ever contain all the bounty and the abundance of the good land to which God is bringing them. God would provide daily bread for them all the days of their journey. But how much greater when they get home. This is what he's held before them. And he would have them journey trusting in his promises. And if that was true for Old Testament Israel in the wilderness, then how much more is it true for us as we live on this side of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We can be confident that God will provide for all our daily needs and that he will provide for us every single day. How can we be so sure? Because he's given us his Son. You see, this story, like every other story of Scripture, is ultimately a story that points us to Jesus. Jesus, who is the bread of life, the bread of God, come down from heaven to give life to the world. He says that of himself, doesn't he, in John's Gospel? He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He goes on a bit later in John's Gospel to say, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He who eats this bread will live forever. One preacher many, many years ago put it so beautifully when he said this, Jesus is supply for all life's weary way. And when time's crumbs are no more needed, eternity's full feast begins. Sweet is the present taste of grace, but what will be the heavenly board? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? In the book of Revelation, he says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. My dear friends, Israel of old ate the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. We have something so much better. Something better than angels' food. By faith, we partake of the true body and true blood of Christ in heaven. And as Jesus calls us to his table, he calls us to sit and to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls. And so we have no reason to murmur, no reason to grumble, no reason to complain. That's the sin of Israel. God has prepared a table for us in the wilderness. He calls us to come, eat of the bread, drink of the cup, to taste and see that the Lord is good, to rest, to enjoy. He says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. How can we be so sure? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things, including our daily bread. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, you are so good. and you are good all the time. And you teach us that goodness even in something so simple as the provision of our daily bread. Lord, sometimes we forget to give thanks to you for this, and sometimes we forget to ask for it. You've blessed us with such abundance, with such prosperity. Most of us have never known what it is to hunger, to starve, to wonder where our next slice of bread will come from. And yet, O Lord, ultimately it's not we who feed ourselves, it's you who feed us. We thank you, Lord, that you give to us times of hardship and times of trial, even times in the wilderness, where we learn anew that we do not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds from your mouth. So, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to look to you. Help us to live each day in dependence upon you, hungering and thirsting for your grace, that grace which you promised to give in such abundance. Guide us all the days of our journey, we pray, and hasten that day when at last, by your grace, we shall sit down at the great wedding banquet of the bride and the lamb, where we shall eat and be full forever. We praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, and we give thanks to you for our daily bread, and even more than that, for Jesus, the bread of life. It is in his name we pray. Amen.